Good morning and welcome to this divine service. And those two hymns that I have chosen, they go well with the sermon that I'm going to have. And the title is, Where Do We Stand With Our Faith? I think you have something in the bulletin too about that, Sean, is it? Yes. Yes. Okay. But before we start, let us bow our heads. Ask for the aid of the Holy Spirit. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this congregation and we thank you that you gave us the ability to worship you in this day, your day of worship. And we thank you for those also that they are worshiping also, and the heavenly host of heaven, that they give you all the honor in this day. And let the Holy Spirit open our minds and our heart to receive your words from the Holy Scriptures. And we thank you for giving us Jesus also. And we pray all this in his precious name. Amen. Okay, so as I said, our sermon is, Where Do We Stand With Our Faith? Turn to Hebrew chapter 11, verse 1. Hebrew chapter 11, verse 1. So, what is faith? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen. So, is a substance that we can't see. And what is the word substance? Substance, a substance is, in the way I look at it too, is that of which anything consists, mostly the evidence of things not seen. For instance, a grapevine. We can see the vine, we can see the fruit, the grapes, but not the substance of it. The substance is hidden in the vine. And when the vine bearing fruit, if we cut the vine itself, it will bleed. The substance of it that is hidden in the vine, the sap that gives the life to the vine, gives the energy to keep the vine not to die, but to live. That is the substance, how I can explain the substance of faith, the things that they are not seen. The same thing with our faith, that give us life. Believing of things not seen, believing in God, to have that faith that He is our creator of everything. And He does exist. We see His mighty works of creation, which is the evidence of His existence, but Himself is hidden from our naked eye. We can't see him. He is up there in heaven, and we know that he is up there in heaven. And also, we believe that Jesus ascended to heaven to prepare a place for us, that one day we can sit on the thrones with him, and inherit the kingdom of heaven forever. So this is our faith, this is our hope, believing in the things that are not seen. And to do that, to believe that, we need a strong faith too. Faith is also a doing word. Show me your faith and I will show you my faith by works. James chapter 2 verse 18. Faith without work is dead. James chapter 2 verse 26. And I will deal with this chapter of James later on. So, it is necessary to perform work according to our faith and hoping, believing in the things we do not see. And from Desire of Ages, page 336, Jesus rested by faith in the Father's care, so we are to rest in the care of our Savior. Also, Desire of Ages, page 347. The only faith that will benefit us is that which embrace us, embrace Him as our Savior, which appropriates His merits to ourselves. Many hold faith as an opinion. Saving faith is a transaction by which those who receive Christ join themselves in a covenant relation with God. Genuine faith is life. A living faith means an increase of vigor, the mental strength, a confiding trust that keeps in the limit by which the soul becomes a conquering power. So, with the faith, a living faith, we will increase the mental strength by which the soul becomes a conquering power. Turn to Luke chapter 22, verse 31 and 32. Luke chapter 22, 31 and 32. And Jesus said to Simon, "Simon, behold, Satan had desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you, that your faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen your brethren." So Jesus knows that we need the power of prayer. The power of prayer, because we're not able to overcome Satan's power himself. We need that extra power. And Jesus knows that Satan is a roaring lion walking about, watching and waiting whom may he devour. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. And how many times it seems that there is no hope for us? We come in certain situation, and everything seems that are crumbling around us. And we weaken in our faith in God, that God is not hearing us. And He is busy with other things. But a voice whispering in our ears that says, "Call upon Jesus. Call upon Jesus." That's why I choose the first hymn. But we are too busy, not in the mood to call on Jesus. We are not in the mood to open the books of the scriptures. Our trials are of limit, too big to handle. Our children are in deep problems. It seems there is no way of escape for them and also for us. And God can't help us. All these thought goes through in the mind that are struggling to live a Christian life and keeps the faith of Jesus. And brothers and sisters, when we feel that we are losing ground, when we feel that we are losing the battle, we have to respond to the voice that is whispering in our ears. Call upon Jesus. Call upon Jesus. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Trust in Him. We have to listen to that voice in our crucial moment. And we have to kneel down and ask God to give us the strength to overcome in our weakness. Desire of Ages, page 336. A living faith in the Redeemer will smooth the sea of life and will deliver us from danger in the way that He knows to be best. Is not it will be when we surrender ourselves in our prayers, it will become God's will, not our will. Because when we pray to God to give us deliverance, to deliver us from the danger, we handed our will to Him. So, because we hand the will to Him, He knows to be what is best for us. Maybe our prayers, it won't be answered straight away. Because in that time God sees that is not the right time. But in some ways, they will be answered. We need to have that living faith in our Redeemer that He can smooth the way in the rough sea to make a way of escape for us. That when the huge waves will rage against us, to swallow us, we can use Jesus as our anchor. And that's why I choose the second hymn. We can use Jesus as our anchor to stand fast and hold fast, fastened to the rock which cannot move, grounded firm and deep in the Savior's love. We need to fasten to that rock, which is Christ Jesus, that our faith will fail not. Will our anchor hold in the storms of our lives, and our faith will fail not? And I leave this question for you to answer. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 12. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 12. Yes, all that will live a godly life in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. So if we want to live up to the requirements and the demands in our Christian walk, we suffer persecution. In this verse of 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 12, Paul is telling us that the closer we get to Christ Jesus, suffer persecution, be persecuted. Persecution is to refine our character, that our faith be presented, will be strong, that our faith in God will be stronger to resist any outcome that can be presented before us by Satan himself and even his followers. To destroy our trust in God, our faith in God. And to trust in God is to have faith in Him, a total surrender of our will that becomes His will. Our full confidence, a complete trust, our conviction and loyalty, our faithfulness to Him, our faith in Him. In the same chapter of 2 Timothy, verse 10 and 11, Paul is telling us that he was also persecuted for his faith that he had in Christ Jesus. And verse 10, but thou hast full knowledge or full known my doctrine, fully know my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecution, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, Iconium, and at Lystra. What persecution I endure, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. So Paul suffered persecution. But through his persecution, he got closer to God, as he said in verse 12. He endured the persecution, and God then delivered him. For us to live a real Christian life, this means we are to be tested if we are worthy to have a place in the kingdom of heaven. Our life is a probation life. We are on probation, a process, a period of testing of the character and the moral trials and discipline. And that's what it's all about, the probation, testing, and even discipline. I mean a driver on probation, young driver on probation, that's what it is. That he discipline himself and obey the rules, the law. And that is the same with us. So if we do not have trials, this means we are not living to our Christian standard. We are asleep and Satan doesn't bother us, does not trouble us, but he leaves us asleep, leaves us alone. Because Satan only tends those that they are slack in their Christian walk. He doesn't tempt those that they are slack in their Christian walk. The dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keeps the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Revelation 12, verse 17. Satan persecutes the ones that keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. And Satan hates the testimony of Jesus. He also hates the one that keeps them and follow them. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved. Matthew 10, verse 22. And also, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Matthew 5, verse 10. And rejoice, be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Matthew 5, verse 12. So why Jesus was hated? Jesus was hated to addressing the truth. Some had itchy ears, and that's why they persecuted Christ. They couldn't stand that he telling the truth. And persecution is not only that we are persecuted and tormented cruelly for believing in God and put in jail to rot there, but it goes further than that. The persecution also comes within the church. But in a sense, why Christians? In a sense, as Christians, why should we suffer persecution in our lives by other so-called Christians to oppress those Christians that want to follow God? And they crush their spirit and persecute them. Well, as we know, Satan got his disciples in the church too. And he used them the way he wants to. And persecute others because they are following the right, the truth, according to the word of God. And I see a lot of things like that since I gave totally myself to God. That people be victimized and became victims under any circumstances. And some of us had experienced persecution from their brethren, and I witnessed that. Some lost their faith on account of this discouragement. As I said, Satan have his disciples, his comrades. And this is from Christ Object Lesson, pages 70 to 75. And I selected some verses here about the parable of the tares. We know that the tares are permitted to grow among the wheat, to have all the advantage of sun and shower. As we know, God sent the sun and the rain on the wicked and on the righteous. The fact that men are in the church does not prove them to be Christians. By going to church doesn't make us Christians. By attending in the structure. Neither God or the angels sowed any seed that produced tares. The tares are always sown by Satan, the enemy of God and men. So it is from hatred to Christ that Satan scatters his evil seed among the good grain of the kingdom. The fruit of his sowing he attributes to the Son of God. By bringing to the church those who bear Christ's name, while they deny his character, the wicked on course that God shall be dishonored, the work of salvation misrepresented, and souls in peril. Christ's servants are grieved as they see truth and false believers mingle in the church. The tares are closely resembled the wheat, while the blade were green. But when the field was white for the harvest, the worthless wheat bore no likeness to the wheat. So at first, yes, that's why Jesus said, don't pull the tares. Maybe you pull the wheat with it. So let them grow. And when they grow, you can tell the difference. So when the wheat grow and the tares grow with them, there is a much farther resemblance than each one. So the character in time will be revealed for the good or bad. Jesus said, by their fruit you should know them. And we have to be careful that we do not become contaminated by the influence that resembles the tares. We need that faith in Christ, that faith in Jesus, to persevere in our Christian walk. All right. But with the judgment, when God will judge the good and the bad deeds and actions that are recorded in the books of heaven to be presented in the day of judgment as they are written in the books. And another thing, in Mark chapter 4, verse 24, the same measure we measure others, God will measure us. That's Mark. I didn't read all the verse, but the essence of it. And also in Acts chapter 10, verse 34, then Peter opened his mouth and said, "Of a truth, I persevere that God is no respect of person." No matter who we represent, no matter who we are, no matter what qualifications we have or we hold, no matter if we are rich and poor, God with his naked eye sees every soul the same. And why? Because he reaches in the depthness of the heart of men. He is the only one that can read the hearts of men. There is no partiality with God, with anyone. In his righteous judgment, God does what a righteous God will do. He condemns and rewards those according to their deeds that are committed by them. The reward of eternal life or condemnation to the eternal destruction. God is a righteous God. In the final judgment, when the books of record are analyzed, there will be no one accusing God that he is wrong in his judgment. But every knee, including Satan, will bow down before God and utter the words that he is a righteous God in his judgment. And that's why every believer have that faith in him, because the Holy Spirit convict them, convict their hearts, and they know in their hearts that God is a righteous God. From testimony to churches, to the churches, volume 6, page 467. Faith is the spiritual hand that touches infinity. And during his life on this earth, Jesus healed many people from their infirmities and also forgave their sins because they had faith in him that they could be healed physically and spiritually. And a lot of parables, stories and events are written in the scriptures, the Bible, to encourage us how we can build up our faith in God through their examples. As Christians, we do fail to have faith in temporal, material things, we weaken in our character to trust in God completely. Can you understand that? Jesus said to his hearers from Matthew chapter 6, "If your heavenly Father so clothes the grass of the fields that tomorrow is thrown in the oven, how much clothe you, O of little faith?" Do not say that tomorrow what tomorrow shall we eat, or what we shall drink, or what we shall wear, but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and the rest will be added to you. So this is the first condition, to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. God will look after the rest. So this is the first priority in our Christian walk, to seek the kingdom of God, to acknowledge His government, His dominion, His law, His supremacy. He is the owner of everything on this earth and also the universe. And to give Him the honor as our King, as our Lord. And the second is to seek for His righteousness, that we can follow it in our morals, in our honesty, to be virtuous, to be noble in our characters. And these are the conditions, our building blocks to succeed in our Christian walk. And there is another most important point to follow. God also doesn't want us to be stingy with Him in our tithes and offering. This is the plan. Bring all tithes, all your tithes into my storehouse. Malachi chapter 3 verse 8. On the other hand, God doesn't need your money or my money. He can do wondrous things. He can convert 1 million in a twinkle of an eye. But that is not the plan in our salvation. But the plan is that God requires from us to bring the tithes and offering into His storehouse, that there is food to feed the hungry with the Word of God, and to be stingy with God is to rob God, and to rob God is to curse ourselves. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Malachi chapter 3 verse 9. It is not only that we are robbing God in tithes and offering, but we are robbing ourselves from receiving the extra blessings that God has promised us, and also robbing those that they are waiting to receive the bread of life that comes down from heaven. That's what it means to rob God. Is not only robbing God, robbing ourselves and robbing others, our neighbors. The degree in the Christian character is shown by the measure of faith that is possessed. And as we know, some have small faith, some have, we call it middle faith, and some have a great faith. Turn to Romans chapter 12, verse 3. Romans chapter 12, verse 3. Romans chapter 12, verse 3. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of his faith. The measure of faith. So we receive the wisdom and understanding of God's word according to the measure of the faith we possess, pertaining the things of the kingdom of heaven, and of the things that we do not see. From Desire of Ages, page 347. Saving faith is a transaction carried through by which those who receive Christ join themselves in agreement and relation with God. The true faith is life. A living faith means an increase, the energy and the force of mind, a confiding trust by which the soul becomes victorious power through Christ Jesus. The only faith that will benefit us is that which embrace Him as our personal Savior. To embrace Jesus, to be eager to follow every step that He made and accept Him as our personal Savior. To believe in Christ is to believe that we can do all things through Christ that strengthens us. Philippians 4:13. Christ is the living Word. John chapter 1 verse 14. So, since Christ is the living Word, also He is the author and the finisher of our faith. Hebrews chapter 12 verse 2. We receive our living faith by reading His Word. So how we can establish our faith? Turn to Romans chapter 10 verse 17. Romans chapter 10 verse 17. So faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So that's how we establish our faith, by hearing the Word and reading the Word of God. The reading and hearing the Word of God are the two main keys that open any door and gives us the confidence to have faith in Him, in Jesus, and trust in Him in our Christian walk. And trust Him in our Christian walk. So, if we do not trust Jesus, tell me, who we can trust if we can trust Him? Faith is the gift of God which we receive through the channel in God's Word. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 8. And at the same time, what is the gift of God? The gift of God is Christ Himself, the Word. To have faith in Christ is to receive the gift of God. For God so loved the world that He sent His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And that's John chapter 3 verse 16. But is it enough to believe in Christ and have the faith in Him and hoping for the things that are not seen? Or we have to practice our faith. We have to show our fruit of our faith by our works. Well, James said in his second chapter that faith without works is dead, and that faith made perfect by works. Faith is shown by our works. And also James wrote that faith without works will save no one. James also added, show me your faith without your works, and I show you, and I will show you my faith by my works. So faith without works will save no one. The same with Israel. Israel in the desert, God fed him with the manna. The manna used to fall every Every day except the Sabbath. They had to gather the manna for the Sabbath. They had the faith in God that He will supply them their bread, their daily bread. And He did for 40 years. But they had to gather it, to collect it, to do their share of work to satisfy their hunger. So faith and work goes together. And James, to enforce of what he is saying, added in his chapter 2, verses 19 to 23. James chapter 2, verses 19 to 23. You do believe that there is one God, and you do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. They believe in God, but they tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Verse 21. Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? Verse 22. Do you see that faith was working together with his works? And by works faith was made perfect? Verse 23. And the scriptures was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. So Abraham saved his son Isaac by performing the work, was obedience, and have faith in God, and God spared his son. Abraham was justified by his faith through his work that makes him perfect. The righteousness of God was imparted unto him. And that's how it saved him, and that's how he became a friend of God. And why we love God? Why we love God? Because He first loved us. That's 1 John chapter 4, verse 19. Our faith in Jesus shows by loving one another. This is the love of faith that we have for Him. That Jesus is not ashamed to call us His brethren. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 11. Faith makes Christ's presence a reality. When we have faith in Him, His presence is real to us. Christ is the door of our faith. From Desire of Ages, page 123. So long as we are united to Him by faith, sin has no dominion over us. God reaches for the hand of faith in us to direct it to lay fast hold upon the divinity of Christ, that we may attain a perfection of character. The perfection of character is to do the work of Jesus. Faith and works in the Christian character works together. And also from Desire of Ages, page 389. As the Son of God lived by faith in the Father, so are we to live by faith in Christ Jesus. Christ relied in the faith of His Father. We have to enter that faith. We have to do the same and rely on the faith of Jesus, as He did relied in the faith of His Father. We have to enter the door of faith. And this door is Christ Jesus. He is the only way, the only door to heaven. I am the way, the truth, and life. No one cometh unto my Father but by me. That's John 14, verse 6. When we enter this door, we become members of the household of faith. Galatians chapter 6, verse 10. And also in 2 Corinthians 13, chapter 13, verse 5. Examine yourself whether you are in the faith. Prove yourselves. Do you not know yourself that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be disqualified? We are to fight the good fight of faith. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 11 and 12. And I read verse 12. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, to which you were also called, and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. I'm not too sure where I read it, where I read this, what I'm going to say, that if we have a little faith, look at those that have a greater faith, to follow their example, that death can lead to Christ himself, to have faith in him. So, we're not saying that they are, don't take me wrong on that, that they give us salvation, but to look as we do, follow the examples in the scriptures about the faith of about the faith of Abraham and all that is mentioned in Hebrew, that if there are people, as I said, there is people that have no faith at all. There is people, they have little faith, a medium faith, a greater faith. So, if we look at those ones that have the greater faith, we can follow that lead us to Christ himself. We have to build ourselves up in the faith. Jude verse 20. But you, beloved, building yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. We have the faith in Christ Jesus. If we have the faith in Christ Jesus, there is a reward. Christ gave us the assurance of this reward by giving his life for us, died for us on the cross to save us from the utter destruction. He came on this earth with nothing. He became poor that we might become rich. Through the obedience to his law, this richness, we can invest it with Jesus, that he can secure it in the treasures of heaven. The richness that the Holy Spirit can give us, we can secure it with Christ in the kingdom of heaven. That it will last us throughout eternity. And to have faith in Jesus means to have eternal life. Amen. Let us bow our heads for prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Holy Spirit that you can teach us your words written in the Holy Scriptures. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you gave us this privilege to be called as your people. We thank you for the Sabbath day also, that it enlightened our hearts and our mind. And also we pray and we thank you for those that they are worshiping together in the whole world with the heavenly host of heaven. And we thank you for give us our children, our families too. And we thank you for you are protecting them. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, also that we can meet next Sabbath too, if it is your will. And now I ask the blessings also on each individual here for the rest of the week. And also I pray for those ones that have to travel long distances and for everyone to get to their destination safely. And we thank you for your mercy. Thank you for loving us. And thank you for giving us your Son, Jesus. And we pray all this in his precious name. Amen.